Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So how has life in the deep freeze been for you? Hasn't helped my voice, as you can tell. We are appearing to come out of this freeze, but what we're looking for this morning, what if any damage has been done to our fisheries as a result of these freezing temperatures? We are looking for fish kills. If you've seen any, let us know. Text that information to us at 504-260-1870 and also report it to a Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries location. Tell them what species, approximate number, and we'll also check in with our field reporters, get their observationist reports as we finally begin a little bit of a warm-up today. Special guest coming up in our second hour, Daryl Sherman, Stella Plantation, going to talk about gunning for a cure, and you can join us out there. It's not too late. He'll tell you how to get involved. For you hunters, well, we're kind of winding down. Got some small game season still on. Prime time for rabbit, really, with this vegetation-killing freeze. Still got some goose conservation order, hunting preserve for quail, and if you can find them, wild quail, still got another week to go. Turkey season's coming up. Time to get out there and do some scouting. We'll also preview this week's Bayou Wild TV show and invite you to come have lunch with us at Covington's Etouffee restaurant. We'll have details when and where you can visit with our film crew. And also, we got this week's bad boy of the outdoors. He's a second and third time offender. His story will be coming up. Also, your text messages are welcome, 504-260-1870. Weather forecast today, a little bit on the fence if you're headed offshore. East 10 to 15, 2 to 4 foot seas. Tomorrow, it's going to be a little bit stiffer, but out of the southeast, 15 to 20. And as far as the interior lakes and bays, east winds 5 to 10. Smooth conditions today, southeast 10 knots tomorrow with a light chop. Your Lake Pontchartrain water temperature kind of warming up, 46 degrees. Some of the marsh areas still a little bit dangerous for the fish. Average tide 1.2, so you got a lot of water moving. Not too bad of a day, but I would suggest starting your trip a little bit later. It's 27 degrees right here at St. Hubert's Cathedral, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Well, earlier this week, I got a message from Robbie Campo that the Jubilee was on by the Wycloski Bridge in Bayou La Loutre down in St. Bernard Parish, and the redfish was stacked up in the deep holes there in the canal. I hope it didn't get too cold to where we lost any of those fish. Robbie, any fish kills thus far in your area?
No, Don, we didn't see any evidence of any fish, any speckled trout dead or, any fish at all dead. Not yet. I know Texas took a beating last week, but I don't think our temperatures got, we didn't have what Texas had. But it did get pretty cold here. We had some broken pipes and, the stuff that you can expect with the freeze coming through. But for the most part, Don, no, we didn't have, I didn't see any fish kills yet. I do know that they did catch some redfish up the bayou. Matter of fact, there's people fishing there right now. They got there early. They're there fishing up by the bridge right now. What we have going on today is we have really low tide today. So if today is your day to fish and you're going to come out and you're going to go fish out of the boat, Be careful running around. Now, we do have the wind blowing out of the north-northeast here at about 12 knots. I think that water is going to come up some today. But with that said, it's still water temperatures at 48 degrees this morning here. I know it was 32 at my house when I left. I dropped to 31 on a four-lane coming down. And when I got down here, it's 34. You know, we get that lake effect, which usually warms it up just a couple degrees. But nevertheless, it's still pretty cold outside. But if I was going to go fishing today, today is the day where you go with a Carolina rig or a jig head, and you go by the dam, any place that has a deep hole, east bayou, you know, maybe up, you know, Hopedale Lagoon, anything that's draining some big lagoons into some bayous with some really deep turns. You know, the Jubilee just doesn't happen right at the bridge. It happens all over the place where there's a deep, where there's a deep turn. And I don't really believe beggars are going to be choosy today with what bites the line. I think they'll take if a sheephead, redfish or whatever bites the line, I believe today, you know, is going to be sufficient. You know, I said, I really believe it's going to, you know, you could still catch some fish today. I think if I was going to try fishing today, I'd go by the dam down here at Hopedale, but that's usually a good spot. It's 40 feet of water, and they stack up right there also. So, you know, and all that requires is a little bit of dead bait on a jig head or with a split shot sink or a Carolina rig and cast it straight down and see. I mean, I think you could really catch some fish today.
Robbie, for those people that are fishing in the canal by the bridge, there's a lot of private property there. Give some people some idea about, certainly they should clean up after themselves, but do they need to ask permission, or are there certain areas that they allow people to fish on the banks there?
Well, there is you know, Don, like last Tuesday and Wednesday when they were really in there, and it wasn't in there stacked up like I've seen in previous years. The only place that they caught any amount was right underneath the bridge, so that's the deep spot. And there is some private property around there, but, you know, usually when these things happen, Don, they don't really say too much. You know, they let them fish off the side of the road. You know, nobody really says too much. But, yeah, just clean up after yourself if you don't, you know. I mean, we did a bayou cleanup last week. Don, I wanted to touch base with that a little bit. I didn't get a total on a tonnage yet. But I know that we did pick up five of those big garbage trucks. I mean, it was big parish trucks full to the top of trash that we pulled off the banks of Shell Beach Bayou here and down in Hopedale. So, and all we did was put a dent in it, Don. I'm telling you, we're going to have to do another one of these things. We didn't get the people that we expected to come out. We had about 45 or 50 people cleaning up, but we had some Boy Scouts out here doing, helping out, which was a really good deal. But the weather was, you know, it was cold. It was blowing. We didn't get much sun that day. Last Saturday was kind of overcast and cloudy. But nevertheless, we did pick up a lot of the stuff here in Shell Beach. We had a, you know, it was a really good day for that. No gnats that was blowing, so we didn't have any gnats to deal with. But I tell you, Don, it definitely made an impact, and we really need to do another one. Hopefully, we're going to try to plan one in March, again to, you know, try to get these rest of these bayous cleaned up, and just make this place look more presentable. You know, so that's the plan.
Well, that is a tough, dirty job. And a big thank you goes out to all those people that pitched in and helped make it a success. Let us know when the next one's coming up.
All right, Don. Will do, buddy. So hook the left of the bridge and come on down and see us. All right. Talk to you later.
Gotcha.
Bye-bye.
All righty. And we'll be right back after this time out. Sounds like that big bass is in my throat right now. You know, right now is a great time to be fishing with frogs. Berkeley, a division of Pure Fishing, who brings you the Jeff Brewer Report, they've got an exciting new lineup. Three new baits, two soft baits infused with their proven fish-catching power bait formula, the Beaten Paddle Frog and the Buzzin' Speed Toad, and a unique bait, the Berkeley Power Pop, a super-high flotation frog. Check them out, Berkeley, a division of Pure Fishing. Jeff, I guess if we ever going to do it, this would be the time to talk about fishing freshwater with winter patterns.
Oh, yeah, it's that time of year with this cold weather and water. I've got some reports that the water temperature on the North Shore is in the, like, 41, 42. And that's extremely cold for us. We rarely get that cold this time of year or any time of the year. But you can do some things. You can still catch a few fish. What you're looking for is some deeper water and jerkbaits. Jerkbait's just a good cold water tactic. There's some float and suspended models you can get. But really the key to them is what depth the lure runs. You want to look at the package and the bill and see how far down and kind of use that to gauge the water you're fishing to what kind of lure to use. Like in South Louisiana, we rarely have over 10 feet of water in the marsh. Now, if you get up on some of the North Shore areas, they can be a little bit deeper. But usually something that runs 4 to 6 foot in a 10-foot hole is what you're looking for. Shallow running jerk baits, some of them that float will come back up. But the ones that suspend are good. I like the Berkeley Cutter 90, and then they have this hit stick, this new lure to come out, and it's pretty good when you're targeting cold water fish. And all you do is just work the bait down to that level of water, 6 foot, and just let it sit. Just wait 5 to 6 seconds in this cold water and just jerk it again back down and just let it sit. It's slow fishing, but when the fish are this cold, they're not really aggressive. And most of your bites are light. You want to get like a medium light, medium action rod to work the bait, because a lot of times when you jerk it and you stop, and then when you go to jerk it again, that's when the fish has it. You hardly ever feel the bite with some of these lures. Every once in a while, I want to pull it off and bend your rod, but for the most part, it's real slow fishing, but it can be good when the water is very, very cold.
Jeff, what about spinnerbaits for our spinnerbait guys?
Well, I like to do a slow thumping single Colorado spinnerbait this time of year. Just let it go to the bottom, kind of slow roll it, bounce it off the cover on the bottom, try to find grass or wood or anything on the bottom, but really the slow thump and retrieve that you can feel with your rod tip. You know, vibrating jigs will do the same thing, but usually a spinnerbait will go over the cover a little bit better than the vibrating jigs will. But when you get a warming trend, you want to go back to these dead ends, and that's usually where the water warms up first. And we're really in the spawn time for Louisiana, but with this cold water, that's kind of put on the back burner. But any kind of warm-up you're going to get in the next few weeks, that's where you want to go with something slow and thumping and try to find those fish.
Jeff, this would have to be time of the year to use the old jig.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the number one cold water bait. If it's below 50 water temp, you want to put a fork trailer on. You can buy these natural fork skin trailers, and they have a lot more action than the plastic does when the water gets real cold. Above 50, it doesn't really matter what you use any other, as far as the plastic versus the pork. You still can use the pork, but I usually go back to plastic because it's a lot easier to deal with. Berkeley makes a meaty chunk. It's just a kind of a flapping tail trailer that you put on the back of your bait, and you can adjust the colors of your bait skirts and trailers to imitate either brim or crawfish, wherever you think the fish might bite on. It's a big profile bait, so even in some muddier water, it'll produce fish. You got your black and blue skirts with a blue chunk. That's kind of a standard Louisiana setup. But then you can add a little orange to it, a little green to it. Sometimes it looks more like a brim. So you can change it up to adapt. But if you're a beginner with a jig, I'd suggest you use some spider wire. The braid just helps you feel the light bite. But a lot of times those bigger fish, I'm not a very good jig fisherman because I hardly can ever tell when the bigger bites are on those jigs. The guys that do it a lot and got the experience, it's amazing how they can catch some big fish on a jig. But it's a tough thing to learn, but spider wire will help you get more bites and detect them.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the more difficult baits to master. I have a lot of trouble fishing with a jig, just don't have the confidence in it. Jeff, what about white perch? You know, we're fearing fish kills for the speckled trout and redfish, but rarely would you ever get a freshwater fish kill. They just seem to be able to take it better. What will it take for those white perch to pick up again? Because the fishing had gotten really, really good.
Yeah, I went on Chipotle a couple of weeks ago, and they were starting to set up in the docks and stuff going back in the canals. The bass were in the back of the canal starting to set up. They weren't, you know, a big number of them, but you could tell they were. That was the primary pattern. But the cold water is not going to impact them as much on the North Shore because the places are so deep up here. They're going to move out to these deep, deep holes. And the water temperature will be on the bottom in these deeper holes. It'll be a lot warmer and safer for them to be out there in that deep, deep water. So you rarely get fish kills. The reason they get them along the coast and stuff because the water's so shallow in some spots that they just can't get out of the very cold water, and they just end up freezing, just hypothermia for the fish. Because when you get these water temperatures dropping in the high 30s and 40s, it stuns the fish, and a lot of times it just kills them. I know Texas is having a major problem on their coastline. I've seen some reports that they've had some freezes over like in the 80s and 90s like we did, and it's going to end up probably hurting their fishery over there because they really got hit a lot harder than what we did here.
Yeah, they absolutely did, and they're still getting reports. They've got five big bay systems that had pretty extensive kills and included sheephead, mangroves, speckled trout, snook, even tarpon, and a lot of bait fish like mullet and pinfish, too. So hopefully we will not have had that problem. Maybe it didn't get quite as cold, and those fish had a chance to get to deeper water before the temperature really dropped out of the bottom on them.
If I hear any fish reports, I'll be sure to send them to you on fish kills. But I think overall, we've been lucky. We survived some hurricanes this year that could have killed a lot of fish. And this cold weather can do the same thing to them. So nature can be a pretty tough place to try to make a living.
No doubt. Thanks for the report, Jeff. As always, we appreciate it. See you next time.
Thanks, Don.
All right, Jeff Brule, our freshwater fishing reporter. We got more reports coming up. Stick around. We're back right after this pause.
Here once again, your host, Don DeVito.
All right, sorry for the scratchy voice. I got the river rat saying he turned the radio on. He thought his grandma was doing the show. He'll be praying for me. Well, thank you, River Rat. Maybe that's what I need. You know, the real bummer about this thing is I feel great. Just got no voice. Well, hopefully you just have to put up with it for the rest of the show. We'll be back again next week with a good, strong voice. All right, we're continuing to check around for fish kills. If you see any, you need to notify Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. You can also text what you saw to us here at 504-260-1870. Most susceptible would be speckled trout, red drum, black drum. When that water temperature gets below 40 degrees for longer than a day, that's when the real problems pop up. The fish become stunned, they have trouble swimming, and eventually they will die. The important factor is how fast that water temperature drops. If it's a slow drop, they can escape the deeper water. Evidently, what happened in Texas, where they've had some pretty extensive kills, water got much colder and got colder quicker and didn't give those fish a chance to survive. And I do want to caution you, if you're out on the water and you come across a fish kill, it's okay to pick up the fish, but your creel and size limits are in effect. Anything above that or under the size or over this minimum size, those would be illegal. So keep that in mind. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify, and we'll be back with some more right after these stations tell you who they are and where they are along the outdoors with Don Dubuque. Wanted to take a minute to talk about an opportunity for anyone who's interested in a career in the coastal restoration field. There's a program that's being put on by Fletcher Technical Community College. They're located in Houma. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. It's an entire week course. It begins on Monday, March 8th, and wraps up that Friday, March 12th. It's going to be held on the community college, and what they'll be talking about is regulations and permitting, safety, pipelines, dredging, trenching, and job opportunities in those areas. And if you want more information, contact Fletcher Technical Community College in Houma. They do have some limited scholarships available. Something else that's kind of neat coming up. And it's not technically open to the public because of the COVID protocols at the university. But at Nichols John Foltz Culinary School, my friend Barry Toops, who has Mrs. Rose Bed and Breakfast at Crawfish Haven, will be doing a pardoning of the crawfish. You know, similar to the pardoning of the turkey during Thanksgiving, we have a pardoning of the crawfish ceremony. Now, it's not open to the public, as I said, but you can live stream it on the Louisiana Seafood Facebook page. It's going to be going on this coming Tuesday, the 23rd, at 10 a.m., and there's a link to the live stream. This will be the fifth annual pardoning of the crawfish, and you might want to check it out. It's a lot of fun. Also, a Bass Cash Bash continues. As they say, you don't want to be that guy. You might recall us having P.D. Vincent on a couple weeks back. This goes on in Texas, Alabama, and Louisiana Delta waters. You can get all the details on their website. That is BassCashBash.com. Check it out, and don't be the guy that misses out on a truck or a boat or some huge cash prizes. Get on top of it. All right, let me take a look here at the text message. Yes, someone here is talking about the Slidell Fishing Pier. It was scheduled to open in March, but because of some delays, it looks like it's been moved to the end of April, possibly early May. So if you like to fish off that Slidell Fishing Pier, it's a wonderful pier right there where I-10 meets the North Shore. Got good facilities there, cleaning station, bathrooms, great place to bring the kids. All right, here's a text that says on the fish limits during fish kills, he says it's kind of bold, you know what. If the dead are fish, if you find one, the size shouldn't matter. If they dead, what would they do with them? Well, basically, they're recycled into the ecosystem, and sometimes they might relax that and allow it, but, you know, by allowing undersized fish or over the limit, that would encourage illegal catching, and I guess it's very hard to enforce, but a lot of people share that opinion that when the fish are dying or dead, we shouldn't let them go to waste and make use of them. But so far, that has not been announced. In fact, we haven't had any actual reports of extensive fish kills here in Louisiana. Texas, on the other hand, they've got some problems over there. They actually instituted a brief closure. I believe they've reopened it back up over there now. All right, we're going to take a time out. We'll come back and get to some more of our fishing reports and info. If you want to text us, 504-260-1870 for the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I've got some texts in, people wanting to volunteer for the next bayou cleanup down there in St. Bernard and looking for the contact information. The guy that coordinated this is Jimmy Corley, friend of mine. He's a professional duck hunting and fishing guide. He goes under the name of Waterfowl Specialist. And I'll give you his phone number in a minute, give you a chance to jot it down into your phone or maybe write it down. But Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina, he's also a good contact. Jimmy's phone number is 504-258-4431. That's 504-258-4431. They're talking about having the next one sometime in March, next month. And although Robbie said they got five truckloads full, there's still plenty of trash out in the bayou that needs to be cleaned up. We had so many storms and high tide events this summer that it left us with an awful lot of bad stuff in the marshes. All right, let's see. We got another one. Oh, thank all of y'all for the get better soon and take care of the voice stuff, and we will do that. Justin's in the Gentilly Refuge. He wants to know if Chris and Seth Lecoq are related. Chris is our television editor, producer, and Seth is a musician. And, yes, they are related. Seth has done some of the theme songs for our Bayou Wild TV show, which, by the way, if you haven't caught this week's show, if you're a duck hunter, you don't want to miss it. We took a trip up to Catahoula and hunted with Blake Swallow and his sons at Full Strap and Stringer. We also did a feature on the way on a guy named Dale Bordelon, who is kind of a throwback to the old days. Not kind of. He is a throwback. kind of like the old market hunters used to be. He uses a 1925 shotgun. He made his own dugout canoe or piro. He makes his own paddles, his own wooden decoys. He also makes his own duck calls. And he actually wears kind of the old stuff that they would. He doesn't have any bright new camo patterns and stuff like that. And he takes along his coffee and a glass jar. Watch the show. I think you'll really enjoy seeing this guy and get an idea of what a travel back in duck hunting times might have been. And if you haven't been able to pick up Bayou Wild, well, we're all over the place. We're on Cox Sports TV Thursday nights at 7, Sundays at 7. Saturday mornings will be coming on a little while at 6:30 on WBRZ Channel 2. On Saturday morning, we just went off from at 4 a.m. on My 54. That's Channel 54 in New Orleans. We're also on the ETEL system today at noon, tomorrow at 6 on Vision, tomorrow night at 7 on the Louisiana Connection Network, which is Cox Channel 140. The Southeastern University Channel, that's at 6 p.m. Thursdays, Channel 199. And if you can't get any of that, you can always pick us up on YouTube. And if you want to do a binge watch, just go to BayouWildTV.com, and all of our past episodes are posted there. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, Darryl Carpenter will find out how the Grand Isle area has fared out during this freeze. And we're also going to check in later on with Darryl Sherman of Stella Plantation down in Plaquemines Parish, the site of next weekend's Gunning for a Cure. A lot of fun, and we got a special harem team I'll tell you more about, too. All that's still to come on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's check in with Captain Darryl Carpenter, find out what's happening down in the Grand Isle, Leeville, Golden Meadow area. Darryl, first up, any reports of fish kills that you're aware of?
We have not seen any fish kills, Don, not yet anyway. I'm a little concerned of what may have happened up deep in the marsh, but as far as Grand Isle is concerned, I've been watching the temperature gauges real closely. And, you know, that water, the water took a nice slow retreat on water temperature, and it looks like it bottomed out mid-40s, 45, 44. In fact, it's hovering, you know, with this last cold snap, it's hovering right around 45, 44 again this morning. We had a couple of, we had ahead of the cold snap, we had some decent water in the marsh, and it took a hard nosedive, of course, once the fronts came through. But I don't think it was anything drastic. I think it gave, you know, if our theory is correct, it gave those fish time to get out of the marsh and to get in those deeper holes. You know, we had a good flush. I mean, we had the second front come through. We had a good flush of water. The water was really, really high yesterday with those south and southwest winds blowing. You know, so it came back up, warmed up a little bit. But, of course, with this next snap, it's just going to drop back out. The water is probably the lowest today that I've seen it all year long. And it's evidenced, obviously, that the fish did survive because, of course, I don't think there's probably 10 people been out in a boat in this stuff in the last week. But the deep holes on the side of the road, the deep holes up in Golden Meadow by the boat launches, they're all producing really nice speckled trout catches this week because those fish had nowhere else to go. So it looks like they made it into the deep holes, and hopefully we won't see a whole lot of fish kill.
You know, I'm really not understanding why they had such trouble over there in Texas, you know, because all of that occurred was kind of along the real lower coast of the Gulf, and you would think those fish had time to get out, but evidently it got a lot colder and a lot quicker over there than it did. I did talk to Captain Kirk over at Hackberry, and he said he did see a few trout in Black Lake and heard about some fish killed in Salt Ditch. It was speckled trout, but it wasn't a whole lot of fish. So hopefully we'll escape. You know, that water temperature's got to get about 39, 40. That's when it really becomes a killer. And it's got to stay that way for maybe a day or so.
Right. And that didn't happen with us. And like you, I talked to Captain Buddy over there, Buddy Oaks over there with him the other day. And he was telling me the same thing, that, you know, they had seen a few dead fish here and there, but the good sign was they went and looked at the deeper holes. And, you know, even in one case, he said, in case those fish had sunk to the bottom, they got, at one point, they got in behind a crew boat that was churning up the bottom, running through the ship channel. And they didn't see the dead fish coming up in the prop wash. So hopefully it was a minimal situation. And I agree with you. It looks like the brunt of this front hit on that western side of Louisiana to the lower Texas coast. And I've seen a few of the pictures, too, coming off of Texas coast. And, I can't answer for it. I don't know. I wasn't able to tell whether a lot of those were speckled trout or white trout. But it looks like they got hit pretty hard. I'm not seeing a whole lot here, and hopefully that's going to be the case that we made out well.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a few days, for it to materialize after the fish die, but hopefully we'll get away with it. Darryl, as far as returning to fishing when the water does warm up, how long does it take those fish to get out of that deeper water and start getting over those shallow reefs once it warms up?
Don, when we get next week, when we get those temperatures in the 70s, the water temperature comes up, especially close to Grand Isle, since we're right on the Gulf. When those water temperatures start coming up, we have 1 or 2 days of higher tides, and those fish are going to start. It all depends on the bait, but it normally doesn't take but 1 or 2 days. You get that bait starting to sun on those flats, and the bait starting to congregate up on the flats, and the fish are going to follow right behind them. Because, it's like you and me. We probably all hibernated this past week, but, man, you give it another day or two and you let that sun come out and it start hitting 60 degrees, we all want to go out and clean up the yard, the mess in the yard kind of thing. So it just feels so much easier to move around, and I believe it translates the same thing to the fish. Give it, let some water come back in, give it 2 days maybe, and you ought to be right back at it.
Darryl, any reports of offshore? I know it's been pretty choppy and bad out there, but maybe before that blow came, or, maybe some boats got out yesterday possibly, and maybe today. Tomorrow looks a little iffy. Are you hearing anything on the tuna Wahoo run?
Hadn't heard a whole lot on the tuna. The Wahoo just continued. The Wahoo's been so good. I don't know if a whole lot of people spending time looking for tuna right now. You're right. The trips have been sporadic. There haven't been a whole lot of people going out because you got to pick your window. But the ones that are making it out, man, it's a shame that we're having the weather we're having this year, because it looks like it's been one of the best Wahoo years that we've had in probably 10 years.
Darryl, we ran your sheephead cleaning method on Bayou Wild last week's show. For people who didn't catch that, kind of run through your quick and dirty method of cleaning sheephead, because that certainly is a wintertime species.
Well, it comes down to the ease of it, and to the, even you get these knives now that are made out of these reciprocating saws, but still, you can only put a knife through so much damage before you damage, before you dull the blade. And the biggest thing, especially when you get into those bigger sheephead, is just don't fight the bones. It's the bones that make you all the, give you all the trouble and all the heartache. So all we do is, we'll start at that head cut, and, you make that head cut, and the rib cage usually comes in right below the lateral line. Sheephead have a very pronounced lateral line. So make your head cut, come down to the top of the rib cage, and just carve out around the rib cage. Once you carve out around the rib cage, just like filleting any other fish, you follow the backbone, and then, depending on how you want to cook it, you can either leave it on the half shell, or you can go ahead and fillet it all the way off. Especially with the larger fish, there is a row of pin bones in there. You got to kind of be careful and watch the pin bones. You can take them out when you clean, or you can handle it when you cook it, one of the two.
Got it. Good tips and good advice, Darryl. We appreciate you giving us all that info, and especially on that sheephead. One of my favorite recipes is to put them in the crab boil and make mock crab meat, and you can stuff crabs with them. There's a lot of things you can do with mock crab meat, and sheephead's one of the best.
Well, they're very versatile, and their meat seems to hold together. It's like the larger redfish. Their meat seems to hold together. I like doing the crab dip with it. The fish dip with it, because they hold together real well. You get chunks of meat in it. I like them in a couvillon. It does real well. it's a great tasting fish, but the meat seems to be just have a little more texture to it, so that it does hold together in those situations, just like you making your lump crab meat out of it.
Got it. Darryl, thanks for the report. As always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we won't find any fish kills in your area.
I think we will. We'll be back on the water next day or so, and we'll find out. We'll see.
Sounds good. All righty. Darryl, if you would, tell people how to get you in case they're interested in the trip.
Well, I mean, they can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Of course, we're always available at RealScreamers.com. Or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288. And, Don, I will tell you, it looks like it's going to be a good summer because the phone's been busy.
Ah, good news, good news. Thanks, Darryl.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have a fishing report with Captain Mike Gallo again. We invite you to report any fish kills. We'll also check with him about the Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne area. Brendan Bayard's got a paddler's report. Ryan Lambert, update us on Plaquemines. And Darryl Sherman's going to talk about the upcoming Gunning for a Cure Sporting Clays competition. Going to be at Stella Plantation next Saturday. 1 week for today, not too late for you to get a team involved. Back with all of that right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Catching up on some text messages. Got this one in. Says, Mr. Don, they're catching lake runners on the North Shore. Never forget the pipeline canal used to smoke them. Get well. That's Big Mike in Bayou Liberty. Now, lake runner, for those of you not familiar with that name, that is one of the many names for the red ear sunfish. It's probably known better around the Atchafalaya Basin as chinkapin. Some people call them red ears. Lake runner's a name around the metro New Orleans area, and they get pretty big. Used to have a lot of them in that marsh over there off of St. Bernard area, but for some reason, Highway 11 around Slidell, I think the saltwater intrusion has kind of driven them up into the freshwater rivers and marshes. But it's a great fish, and this is prime time for those lake runners, so you might want to get out there and get you some. All right, we also have some more text messages coming in. Gary, who says he's a fishaholic. Let's see, Gary's got... he said that he talked about he heard the fish being caught off the side of the road in Hopedale, but a lot of people are keeping over their limits. That's sad. I think they have the right to catch fish, but not over their limit. Yeah, I agree with you. And I got to tell you, whenever that happens, Robbie calls it a jubilee when those fish get stacked up in there. Generally, the game wardens show up. And a lot of time they're in plain clothes, and they might be fishing there right across the bayou or right next to you and keeping an eye on you and counting your fish. And a lot of people have been surprised when they get ready to leave. They also leave with a little piece of paper in their pocket called a citation. So obey the size limits and the creel's limit. All right, here's one from Toby. He and Gary are in Carnarvon, and they want to hopefully make a check in the Carnarvon Bass Tournament. They want to pick up some money. They should have brought their own water. It's low, low, low. Yeah, we're getting a lot of reports of extremely low water, so if you're going to be going out there, certainly be careful. All right, right after this pause, we're going to come back with Captain Mike Gallo, get a fishing report on his areas, and hopefully there'll be no fish kills in that area, too. Checking on it for you right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And it's time for our fishing report with Captain Mike Gallo, brought to you by Seto, $179 for a whole year's peace of mind. And it's weather like this when you really appreciate knowing if you run out of fuel, need a jump start, towed in 24/7, Seto is there. Captain Chris will sign you up, 504-301-4545, or visit Seto.com. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Captain Mike, we've been checking on fish kills so far, so good in most of Louisiana. Any problem or trouble over in your neck of the woods?
I have not heard or seen of any fish kills, Don. I checked with Shanna over at Wrigley's Marina just a few minutes ago by text, and she has not heard or seen of any fish kills. So far, that's very good news for us as well. hopefully that continues.
Mike, have you gotten to fish at all with all this deep freeze weather we've been having?
No, it's been some very nasty weather over at my area. And I remember what you told me many years ago. You're supposed to go fishing to enjoy yourself. And when the weather's nasty, you're not going to have a whole lot of fun. So I've heeded that advice and didn't make any trips this week. Just been working on my dock when I get some time.
So where will your first spots you hit now that we got a little bit of a warm-up coming back?
Well, like we heard a lot of the other reporters talking about, deep water and deep holes are where those fish are going to move to when the water temperatures begin to drop. So areas like Gohegan's Canal, the Lakeshore Estate Canal systems, the Eden Isles Canal systems, find you some deep water in there, which is plenty of it. Dead shrimp on the bottom, on a jig head, or even bounce a matrix really slow, and you should be able to find, like most have been talking about, the sheephead, the black drums, the redfish, maybe even a flounder or two. I don't foresee many trout being caught at all. As you suggested earlier in your show, definitely going to be a benefit to let the sun come up and leave later in the day, maybe leave at lunchtime and fish the hottest part of the day. Give yourself the best opportunity to catch some fish.
Mike, you know, we tell people fish deep water. It's good advice. It's warmer. The fish are going to be there. They'll be a little bit more active. But sometimes in deep water, those fish will reach a stratification level. And I can recall, I'm sure you do too, that trip we made, I think Uncle Dan was with us, and we found those fish in that deep water in Lakeshore Estates, but they weren't on the bottom. They were suspended. I think if I remember correctly, they were right at 17 feet. When fish are suspended like that, but they're still deep, how do you get to them?
Well, I would approach that in two ways, maybe even three ways, depending on how deep it is. If that 17-foot mark is only, say, 2 or 3 feet above the bottom, then I would make a drop shot with a long sinker on it to where I could suspend my bait upward. If that 17 feet were more than, say, 3 feet above the bottom, you could approach that type of technique with a sliding cork. And then the third way that I would approach that is with a light jig head. You'll want to use an 1/8 of an ounce jig head and maybe some heavier line like 12-pound test monofilament. And that combination is going to give you a little more buoyancy or less of a sink rate. And you can count it down. An 1/8 of an ounce jig is not going to fall very fast. Might fall a foot every 2 seconds. So it's not going to be a very fast fall. A lot of times you'll be able to see these fish suspended on your depth finder and give you an idea of where you want to start. If they're not hitting on the bottom, but you're seeing them on your depth finder, then you can try with those lighter jig heads and try to pull that lure in front of them and get their attention.
Good advice. Mike, I did get a report of the death of a manatee over there near, I want to say, Wrigley's Lake Catherine area. Did you get that information?
I did not hear anything of a manatee. I know we saw one earlier in the year down by the wall, but I hadn't heard of any of them passing, any of them dying.
Yeah, no, they're very susceptible to cold water. That's why they're not here most of the year. They come, you know, in the summer when the waters are warm, and they hang out, eat vegetation, but they get in big trouble, just like the fish do. And you would think that, you know, they're kind of like a walrus or a seal in that family, and that they would not. But I guess maybe it just gets them lethargic and they have problems feeding, because they certainly don't have gills and breathe like a fish would, where, you know, immobility would be the problem. But I did get a report, and you might want to try to confirm that. I didn't actually see it, but I did get a couple of people report that.
That is interesting. Hate to hear that. He probably was staying hoping for some crawfish.
Yeah, it's sad because they really are unique creatures, and they're fun to see them when they come around. Mike, if you would, tell people how to get a hold of you if they want to make a reservation at the Lake House Lodge or get a fishing trip to fish trout or reds. Tell them how to get you.
Very simple. You can find me at aaofla.com. I'm also on your website at dontheoutdoorsguy.com or the reliable telephone 985-781-7811.
All righty, Michael, thank you very much. Stay warm, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you then. Take care of that voice.
I'm planning on it. There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, coming back after this, those of you who like to jump in a kayak or a canoe and go paddling for your fish, Brendan Bayard's got some tips for you, as he always does, right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our paddler's report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club is a presentation of Massey's, with locations in Mid-City, New Orleans, Covington, and Baton Rouge. And they've also got a fish pick contest going on, which Brendan will explain momentarily. But first off, Brendan, any fish kill reports that you're aware of?
No, nothing really substantial, Don. There's a few little tiny bait fish spotted here and there in the marsh, but nothing substantial, so luckily, hopefully we can get through this without a major effect on our estuary. I know in years past it's been pretty bad, but, you know, I don't know if, you know, I haven't heard of the right ones yet or if the fish got into some of those deeper holes in time, but we'll see as this week shakes out if anything is discovered.
Brendan, if you would be looking for some deeper water, maybe close to the road for a short paddle where those fish may be congregated in these colder times, where would you suggest going?
If you're down Highway 1, certainly the Barrow Pits along the old LA 1 between Fouchon and Grand Isle offer some opportunities. If you're out west, the LNG Canal and by the Calcasieu Point launch is a good spot for getting some dead-end, deep-water fishing going on. If you're on Highway 23, you have the dead ends in the lock near Empire. You have Myrtle Grove, lots of just, you know, pumping stations you can hit on either LA 1 or Highway 23, kind of dead-end areas. All those are the kind of areas where there's going to be less turnover with the water at that dead end, and then it's going to keep just a few degrees more, and those fish might be congregating a little bit more. Those are often community kind of fishing holes. I like to downsize my lures, kind of go with a little bit more finesse approach. Those fish tend to see a lot more lures throw at them, and it makes me feel better anyway. And you know, maybe some double rigs with some smaller crappie-sized baits always do the tricks for me.
Brendan, let's talk a little bit about safety, because hypothermia is certainly something to consider during this time of the year with these really cold water temperatures. Any extra precautions aside from just being super careful when you're getting in and out of the kayak?
Yeah, if you're wearing waders, you're going to want to have a wader belt. I also like to, you know, have people practice if they want to jump in a pool or something like that, if they're not used to the effect of waders in water, because those can kind of certainly, you know, get people in a lot of trouble when they get full of water. You know, the best thing to do would just be to unclip and kind of release those waders, as opposed to try to work yourself with, you know, the extra 100 pounds of water that might be in them if you're trying to get out. And just be with a buddy, because sometimes you can get stuck in mud and with these low water conditions, if you fall out of the kayak, you might be cold, wet, tired, and it's just too hard to get out of that muck and into the boat. So it a lot of times it takes a second person to help you with that. Go with a buddy this time of year and be safe and be very careful when you're turning around in the kayak to put that fish in that ice chest behind you, because that's really where it happens the most. Is when your torso is contorted backwards and you're kind of just a little bit unaware of that tipping line of your kayak. That would be the biggest time that I've seen people fall over.
Yeah, that practicing warm weather is certainly good advice. Brendan, if you would, explain the Massey's Fish Picks tournament that's going on, the prize structure, and how do you get signed up and registered?
So if you show up at one of the Massey's locations, you get a Fish Picks token. If you're a Bayou Coast member, you get that token and you bring it with you fishing. You catch any redfish, speckled trout, flounder, bass, and you you can do it with there's different divisions. There's fly fishing divisions and there's traditional tackle divisions. You catch that fish, you place it on the board, you put your Massey's token on there, you take a picture and you upload it on the Fish Picks forum that is in the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club forum, and then Massey's will tally those links up. Oh, actually, I apologize. That was last year. This year we're on the Tourney X Pro app that we've been using for tournaments. So you just go right on your phone, upload it. It's even easier. And at the end of this month, Massey's will tally up all those aggregate links, the links for the kids' fishing picks, and they'll have a prize ceremony at one of these Massey's locations, usually the one over there in Mid-City in New Orleans, and great prizes get awarded, and it's a free event. All you have to do is get out there and bring your Massey's token.
Yeah, and to get that, you start off at bckfc.org and go from there. Everything else is all lined out.
Yes, sir.
Brendan, anything else before you go?
No, we don't have any events for at least a month and a half, so it's just wintertime fishing. I wouldn't get out there as early as you can. You can usually be like me and go bring the kids to a basketball game and then go in the afternoon. So no rush right now with the water temperature, and just take it easy.
Absolutely, and I think we're going to see some of that stuff we used to have called sunshine. I think there's going to be some of that today.
Hopefully, sir.
Thanks, Brendan. We always appreciate your reports, my friend.
All right, Don. Take care of that voice. Bye-bye.
I will do it. All right, coming back after this, yeah, for bad voice or not, we always have a bad boy to tell you about. Got a third-time offender this week. His story's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got a little calendar item just now coming in, if I can get it brought up for you. Might be something to do on a good cold day if you don't want to get out there and brave the cold in your fishing boat. Today at the public library, Jefferson Highway, River Ridge, saltwater fly tying class by the vice president of the club. That's from Jimmy Hyatt. Kyle, D-U-L-E, Duel. Anyway, questions and answers about fly fishing out of kayaks. You can also win a door prize. Again, that's going to be 10 o'clock, Public Library, Jefferson Highway in River Ridge. You know, a lot of the cases of these bad boy stories we bring to you start off with Operation Game Thief hotline calls or tips to the 411 app. And I'm happy to tell you, they pay out a lot of rewards. They just recently paid out $4,200 to residents statewide at its last meeting. They had 13 cases, 17 subjects were apprehended with 71 offenses. The cases involved deer, migratory game birds, turkey, and also convicted felons in possession of firearms. This program, I remember when it started, was in 1984. And since then, they have paid out, get this number, $446,810 in reward money to informants. And all done anonymously. So get you some. Call that number, 800-442-2511. It's right there on the back of your hunting or fishing license. Or use the TIP 411 program. All right, we come back after this. It's this week's story of the bad boys after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Lieutenant Adam Young and Corporal Josh Lavalette were on patrol in the area of Grand Bayou in Plaquemines Parish and observed a boat with Jeremiah Phillips on board actively gathering oysters by hand in a known polluted area that had been closed by Department of Health. The agents determined that Phillips did not have written permission from the leaseholder to remove the oysters, nor did he have basic fishing or saltwater license, and confirmed that Phillips' licenses have been revoked because he failed to pay civil restitution owed in a case back in 2019. Apparently, Phillips is a repeat bad boy. His record shows this is his second offense for fishing without a license, third offense for removing oysters from a private lease, second offense for no permission, and second offense for harvesting oysters from a polluted area. His one sack of nasty oysters was returned to the leased area. So for those offenses, facing maximum criminal fines of $3,800, up to 120 days in jail, and a 10-year requirement that he only take oysters from a boat with a monitoring system, is 40-year-old Jeremiah Phillips of Port Sulphur, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, earlier this week, our Bayou Wild TV team went up to White Oak Estates and Garden with Chef John Foltz, and we did four recipes that you'll be seeing on future episodes. We did a Siopino, we did a ratatouille, we did a woodcock supreme, and specklebelly goose with orange marmalade. And in talking to John, he did most of the talking, obviously, with my voice like it is. But he told me that he loves to listen to the bad boys. And he often talks about his brother, Royley, who has been on the show, who is a reformed bad boy. Used to be one of the baddest, but he's now reformed. So say good morning to Chef John Foltz, probably listening on his way in with Ryan. All right, we come back after this. Another Ryan joins us, Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures, up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man is Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures. Ryan, I would imagine since all the corn up in Iowa and Missouri's been eaten and everything frozen solid, you probably couldn't get to the fish for the ducks that showed up down there this week.
Well, there's a lot of ducks, buddy, but, you know, there's so much that goes into that because the day after the duck season in Arkansas, they drained those rice fields to get ready to start putting rice in them. I mean, the day after. So it was already dry. Plus, when they start draining them fields and the weather, oh, yeah, the ducks are down. They are down in big numbers. But, you know, it's one of the things. It's been one heck of a week. This has been the coldest weather that, you know, coldest winter in general that I can remember in years. I mean, throughout the season, we got in the 30s. We usually get to 39, maybe one night down in Burris. We were in the 30s a good bit this year. But it's been good. The only good thing about, you know, what happened with the fish is that all that water in Burris is just water. It sits on a little peninsula that it controls that temperature from going too low most times. And that's what it did again. We got down, you know, pretty cold, but not cold enough to kill the fish. Now, our neighbors in Florida, I mean, in Texas, they got hammered. I mean, I see 9.5-pound fish floating around. It is not good. It's going to take years for that to come back.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Ryan, nobody watches the Mississippi River closer than you do. What do you think all of that snow and ice up north of here is going to mean for the river later this spring and summer?
Well, you know, it's going to come up naturally, you know, when it all comes melting down. But really, it takes a foot of snow to make an inch of rain. So I don't think it's going to be so bad, not more than normal. I mean, it's calling for 5'7" on March 10th. If we could get into April with that river under 7 foot, we are going to have one heck of a trout season this spring because, you know, the salinities are high. They're running 30 parts per thousand at the Empire Jetty right now. In fact, they got the Davis Pond diversion running 8,000 cubic feet per second to try to flush some of that water away from those oysters. You know, because too much salt water, the drills will come in and parasites will get on them and kill them. So, You know, they have to have that happy medium between 5 and 15 parts per thousand for that production of oysters. But they got a little high and started hurting some of them. And, you know, they got the diversion open, which is going to help Cotahuachi and Salvador because it's going to grow some aquatic vegetation in there. And, you know, everything comes around. I mean, it's going to be a good season there. And actually, if they leave it open long enough, it's going to help the ducks because that aquatic vegetation in Lake Salvador and in the Salvador Game Reserve will come flying back. So, you know, it could behoove everything. But I don't think that we're going to have too big of a problem here with fish kills. I heard a little bit in the West, you know, some people said they saw some bait fish and stuff dead. But, you know, I haven't seen anything or heard anything in our area because it's, you know, it stayed pretty high, the temperature, you know, 30 degrees or so, enough to burn my hibiscus. That's about it. Now, up in Luling, it got pretty cold.
Yeah, I think this cold extended further down the coast than many, many years since we've seen it that cold, particularly down, you know, in your area, which is kind of like Florida almost.
Yeah, incorrect. It to the west, it really, really got cold. It snowed at Noliasi, 100 miles south of the border at my other lodge.
Oof.
I mean, it literally snowed down there. You know, I've seen a 36 down there and sleeting on me before, but snow is kind of a rare thing. So I would imagine it killed the fish all the way down there again because it killed them in 2016. And Laguna Madre is such a shallow body of water, and that's got a great deal to do with it. If they get caught in those shallows, and that's, you know, all of Port A and Port O'Connor and all that. That's the Laguna Madre runs all through there. And then that hypersalinity water, it gets cold. It just, I tell you what, I feel for them because I've seen the pictures and it's got just big old speckled trout dead everywhere. But I saw a film from Port O'Connor today in the harbor. Thousands of redfish swimming around still alive. So that's a good thing. You know, you got to look for the bright spots when you get something like that. Because I remember in 82 and 89 when we lost our fish, it was devastating. You know, back then, Burris had all that 60-foot of water, and those fish were able to get down there. That's how, actually, I met Phil Robichaud back in the day because that freeze killed everything in Lafitte. And he came down and fished with me a few times, and we became friends. And, you know, it's we don't have that 60-foot of water anymore. That all that marsh died and filled up all those big, deep holes. And we got enough 12-foot of water that they could have got in if it got any colder. You know, we wouldn't have lost everything.
But, what is that river?
River
water temperature.
The tide was high. What's that, buddy?
River water temperature. What is the river normally at, the temperature?
About this time of year, it's in the low 40s, cold enough to where if you get in it, you're not coming out of it unless you can get to the bank really quick. So, yeah,
so it's not helping
most of the winter. Well, it does, actually. You know, it's not going to help make it warmer, but it's so much of it that it's already cold and it's flowing. You know, our water's flowing, so it keeps that constant temperature, too. You know, whereas Laguna Madre hasn't a tide, really. It's a very still body of water. And that, you know, that behooves the cold for killing those fish. I mean, we're kind of lucky to where our system works. You know, it's anytime it gets still, that water can sit there and get cold. But if it's moving, it's continually, you know, if it's 30 degrees outside and you got 43-degree water that keeps moving through there, it's going to pretty much stay there because it's coming from the depths. So I don't, you know, like I said, I don't think we had much of a problem in my area.
Ryan, before you go, you know, when I see days like this kind of a morning, boy, I think of rabbit hunting. And I think of that rabbit hunt we had down at Southwest Pass. How's the rabbit hunting been down there?
Good. It's been good. I know some boys that were just going down there and walking up, just walking without dogs or anything, just, you know, in the briars. I wanted to go, but the ducks got in the way again at Noliasi, and they, you know, I'm all quacked up, as you well know. So I made another push on them, and yesterday I went to pick up a new boat, so I'm going to bring it down today and put on my power poles and start rigging it out the rest of the way and get ready. Got another 23 skeeter. I like that boat, so I'm going to go down today, and then tomorrow I'm going to jump in my little boat, and I'm going to put my drone up. I'm going to fly over all the marsh and get a real good look from about 20 foot and see if there's any fish under there that's dead and that kind of stuff. So I get a better look tomorrow to see what's happening.
Oh, and by the way, I want to thank you for sending that video from your shot cam. That is very, very helpful in showing people the proper leads on the different angles. I sent a copy to Martha. Not that she needed it, but just so she could look it over, you know.
Yeah, if they don't look at just the ducks getting killed and look at how you pull ahead of a duck or you shoot those angles. And I'm going to take the crosshairs off of mine, so next time I'm going to have the red dot. And that last video, I just stuck my shot cam on. I didn't center it really good, so it looked like I was shooting a little under them, but no, they was dying.
that's very, very useful.
Well, I'm going to bring mine this week. I told Laney and them we're going to put them on their guns, and that way after the shoot, they'll know exactly why. But I sent it to all of them so they could see the lead, you know. People don't understand,
right.
You know, like some of those far shots, you have to pull, you know, I use a sustained lead when I shoot. But even if a sustained lead, you got to put it way out in front of them. It doesn't feel natural. If you shoot something out there 50, 60 yards, it don't even feel natural like you're shooting at the bird. You're so far ahead of them. But, you know, down there, you know, we shoot lead, and you can really get out there and touch them with a 20-gauge, 2 3/4-inch shell. So it's, you know, it looks it looks a little different than it is not back home. But it was one of the best hunts I've had in years and years. I mean, it was, especially for this late in the year, it was unbelievable. So I'm going to get all my dates for April. If anybody wants to go down with me, I'm going to take all that in April and make all my plans for this year because it's special. I got to get you down there.
Yeah, I got to go. All right, well, look, the Harem team is ready. They've been training hard. They're running a couple miles every morning. They've been dieting. They're staying off the booze. They're ready to go. So we'll look forward to seeing you down there.
I can't wait, buddy, but I'm calling BS on everything you just said. They're not off the booze, and they're not running 2 miles, I promise you.
Well, maybe I exaggerated a little bit. We'll see. We'll see you next week, buddy. Take care.
Anybody wants to get a hold of us, go to CajunFishingAdventures.com and check it out or give me a call at 504-559-5111, and we'll get you hooked up. Get that voice back going, buddy.
Yes, sir. All right. Gunning for a Cure is what we're talking about. And the director, Daryl Sherman, going to be with us next to tell you more about it right after this. All right, our Harem team from Cajun Fishing Adventures is ready for Gunning for a Cure 1 week from today. Stella Plantation down in Plaquemines Parish. And I'm going to let Daryl Sherman, because you're probably tired of hearing my scratchy voice, tell you a lot more about it. Good morning, Daryl. Tell us what awaits folks next weekend down at Stella Plantation.
Next weekend, we're going to have Gunning for a Cure. It's our eighth event. It's an annual event. We're going to have registration starting at 8, so anybody that's coming, probably get there a little bit early. We're going to be serving breakfast. We have sausage biscuits and grits and griots, coffee. Registration's at 8. We'll start to shoot at 9. Lunch will be served on a course. I think we're having little pork sliders this year, if I'm not mistaken. And then after the event, after the shoot, we'll go to the event tent, and we'll go ahead and tally up the scores and get some good food, some open bar, get some good alcohol, and have a good time.
And this is four-person teams shooting sporting clays. So tell us about the entry. How do they get signed up? Can they just come down there, or is there a cutoff time?
There is not a cutoff time. They can come down. The easiest way right now, because we're so close to the event, is to go online, www.gunningforacure.org. You can go online, register your team, put in your team name, put in the people who are going to shoot, and you just pay right there on the website, and you're done.
This is such a generous event put on by the Perez family at Stella. Tell us what the proceeds are used for.
All the proceeds go to Tulane Cancer Research. All the money stays here in New Orleans for Dr. Sauter. Over the last 7 years, we've raised approximately $1.2 million for them. So we trying to keep the event growing, and I think we're going to, you know, with all the challenges this year between the hurricane, Stella got hit pretty hard. So we did lose a couple buildings. The oak trees don't look as good as they used to, but Also, you have the pandemic, so everybody that shoots knows how there's such a shortage of shotgun shells right now. But we're able to pull everything together, and we hope that everybody will come out and enjoy the event.
And it's still a beautiful place to have it. Again, give us the information for registration one more time.
www.gunningforacure.org.
And best directions to get down there?
You can either take the ferry, the Belchase Ferry, and when you come across, you take a right, and you go down about 0.8 miles, and you'll see Stella Plantation. Actually, we have signs out to make it easy for everybody to get in. Or you can actually go through Chalmette like I do and come up the back way. So that's two ways to get there.
Highway 39, hard to get lost. What time does that ferry start running?
I'd have to check on that, Don, but I think it's 5 o'clock if I'm not mistaken. You can either contact the parish or look it up. I believe they have a website to get it the exact time, but that I don't know for sure.
Yeah, but it's early enough to get across. Thanks, Daryl. We'll look forward to seeing you down there, my friend.
Okay, real quick, I agree with Ryan. I don't think your team's training that hard.
You'd be surprised. Thanks, Daryl.
I hope you get better soon, Daryl.
Thank you much. Yeah, you can meet our team, Laney Wick. We're also going to have Ashley Marshall. We're going to have Janice Lamont. And one more. Who was that other one? Sarah Giles. Yep. Come see us. It's our shooting team at Gunning for a Cure. See you next week, hopefully with a better sounding voice on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.